Hello, thank you for visiting Crossroad International Church, a Christian community in the heart of Kuwait consisting of believers from dozens of countries around the world. Our vision is to see all people in Kuwait know, believe, and model the unconditional love and life-giving hope of Jesus. We hope you're blessed by the message this morning.
We're going through an Advent series. Advent is the Latin word for coming, and many churches do this all over the world. And it is just a celebration, a time in the calendar to focus on his first coming and also to look forward to his second coming. Because Jesus came 2,000 years ago as a baby, and he is going to return one day in power and in glory to take all his people back to his kingdom forever. Amen. So this is a time where we're studying this. And, you know, even me growing up, not until I came to Kuwait, did even I understand what Advent was. Because my parents were pot-smoking hippies who got saved. And they went to a church that didn't have a lot of traditions. And that's also great. But I think it's also great to celebrate and to think about it as an international church, right, where people from different theological, cultural, ethnic, linguistic backgrounds to spend some time as these people, as God's people from many nations to study the idea of Advent. So, and during the Advent series, there's usually four or five different subjects that are covered. And we've already done two of them. You know, the first week we did hope. Last week you did peace. This week we're going to talk about joy, which we'll talk about in a moment. And then love and then Christ are the four candles that are historically lit during this season. So my question for us is, what is joy? Right? What, when you think of joy, what do you think of? Happiness. Yes. Happiness could be pleasure, could be fun. Right? All those things. And what are, in your mind, what are your moments? When you think of joyous moments in your life, what comes into your mind?
Childbirth.
Marriage.
Presents.
Yes, everything. So just yesterday, I celebrated my 20th anniversary. Yes, amen. We actually got away for evening, so that was amazing. And it has been 20 years and things have changed. I still vividly remember my wedding day. I remember the church that was a church in my wife's family. I remember all the people. I remember being very nervous. Because even though, you know, when you get married, even though you don't do anything, you're still very nervous, right? It's obviously much more work. And I've been the best man. That's a lot more work and emceeing different things. But you still feel very nervous because it's like, this is forever, right? I just remember how Stephanie looked when, you know, the beginning of the service, she stands at the back of the church in her beautiful makeup and wedding dress. And I was just stunned. And I was just, I could not help but smile like an idiot. I was so happy to see her. Right? And if you go to weddings, what people do, this is just a word of wisdom. Everyone looks at the bride. If you want to see joy when you see a wedding, don't look at the bride, look at the groom. Because you'll see what joy looks like personified in that person. Right? I've done that every wedding I've been at. I look at the groom and you can see the joy in his face. Amen? So, and even though I get to spend the rest of my life with her as part of the joy and learned about her in a lifetime and shared everything. Also, people have mentioned, you know, I think of joy when I think of Silas smiling at me, my little son, and asking for a hug, playing games. And I'm playing soccer with Elliot, and he just crushed me. I just couldn't. He's more stamina than I do now. And just seeing him excel and do well and get beyond me in certain things. Spending time with my wife, spending time with people. I'm a people person. I love being with people. And I love less now. But I loved getting on a plane to go to a new destination. It's a little harder with kids, so I'm not as excited. And also, even here in this place, when people come up and ask for prayer, I am happy because people have come up and shared part of their life with me, and I get to enter in with them in their struggles and have hope and joy that prayer is going to be answered. Prayers have been answered. And I'm trying to convince some of those people to give testimonies as we go forward. So, amen. So what's the big idea? The big idea is this, I'm very thirsty. Christ is the gift of supreme joy. Christ is the gift of supreme joy. So first of all, we were created for joy, right? God created us for joy and happiness in creation, right? All the chemicals and the hormones, the dopamine, the oxytocin, the serotonin, all the other hormones and chemicals in our bodies that were designed for pleasure, God made those. Right? That's not some product of evolution. That is God equipping our brains for happiness and pleasure and joy. And he called it, when he created everything, created the man and the woman, he said, he called it very good. Right? So God's not a killjoy. God was made us for joy and for pleasure. To be clear, right? God gave Adam and Eve the garden to work it, right? Because he knows there's pleasure in the work that we do. There's joy when you create and you make something. Especially for me, like, you know, when I grow something, even though my job is so different, when you put your hands in the earth and something fruit comes forth from it, it's an amazing feeling. And God gave that to Adam and Eve. He also gave Adam and Eve each other, right? The man was alone. He said, I will make a helpmate fit for you, and brought Eve to Adam so they could enjoy each other. And they also walked with God, right? They heard him in the cool of the garden. So we walk with God by faith, but I think in the original creation, they saw God as he was, right? They were equipped because they had not yet sinned to see God and to be filled with joy in him. And in the creation, you know, they worked the garden. That was God's command to Adam long before sin entered the world, but the work would not be difficult. The work would always yield results, right? Just imagine that. I mean, how much of our work that we do that yields nothing? That's the frustration of work in the cursed world that we live in. But imagine in the creation that everything Adam and Eve put their hands to had a yield. They had each other for love and companionship and procreation, for more relationships. There were no disagreements. There were no fights. There were no divorces. There were no separations. There was no disownments. All those things would not have been there. And imagine an eternal life with God, with creation, and with one another. Just what imagine. It even takes work to imagine what that would be like. Because our world is mired in something very different than that. No sickness, no aging, no death, no despair, no grief. Undiminished beauty, right? We could enjoy it forever. That's how God created everything. And they saw God face to face as the source of all they enjoy and their greatest joy. They had a place. They knew who God was as the source of all their joy, could see him in beauty, and that all the other things in their life they could enjoy were in their proper place. That's how it was. God was the center. They saw him. They walked with him. They loved him. And he gave them all the other things to enjoy, and they had their place underneath that. That's how it was. So for us, it's important to understand that joy and happiness are not evil of themselves. There is much in this world that we can enjoy. And don't feel guilty as believers enjoying the things that God allows us and made us to enjoy as long as they are submitted to Him. And also to spend time, using our imagination is a good thing. Imagine what that world is like. The world that God made in the beginning and He will remake at the end without sin and brokenness and death, and how life would be different. Amen? Yet sin destroys joy. That brings us to our passage. So if you have your Bibles with me, turn with me to Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. Luke 2, starting in verse 8. Luke 2, starting in verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among with those who He is pleased." And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Amen. So, God created us for joy, in happiness, but sin destroys that joy. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, the one thing God said you cannot do, they did it. He said, "Behold, your death is going to come to you." Right? It broke that. There's a separation between God and man. God stopped walking with man. Right? He cursed the ground. He says, "In pain and toil you will work." Pain in children, including not just the actual giving birth, but all the things, that terrible things, infertility and prematurity and stillborn babies and all that other agony that we see and feel with children. There'd be enmity with one another, right? God told the man and the woman, said, "You will rule over him, but his desire will be, but your desire will be for him," which means against him. There'd be fighting, right? Enmity with one another. People age, they got sick, they die. We deal with things like grief, despair, pain and suffering, and all the brokenness. People were not happy. Right? That is one sin that caused that. You're like, "What's this one sin? Why is God so mean?" Well, if you look at the next chapters, it quickly went from disobeying God to murder, right? Cain killed Abel. And if you look at Genesis 4, as the world in sin was living out what will be caused, it says people cried out to God. They called upon the Lord because they knew the life that they had, it was not the life that was meant to be. They called out to God for help and relief. This is Genesis 4. This is not later. This is right at the beginning. So God picked Abraham to have a relationship with him. He said, "You will be my son. I will make you a people. There are my people that will be as many as the sands of the seashore," right? And they grew in number. But as they grew in number, they were enslaved by the Egyptians. And they were led out of slavery by God through Moses. God raised up another man. Says, you will lead my people out of slavery into the wilderness. I will give you my law and my rules, and you can live in peace in the land that I've presented to you. So they were brought to the promised land. And God said to them, if you obey me, right, you will have blessing and restoration, and there will be no end to your kingdom. Or if you disobey, you will be led into more slavery. You will be blotted out from the face of the earth. You will suffer for it. And of course, they chose disobedience, right? As we talked about in Daniel, right? The Assyrians took over the northern kingdom, and the Babylonians took over the southern kingdom. God foretold Daniel, we talked about this, right? There'd be 70 years. But God said, no, your sin is still there. So it'll be 490 years until salvation, right? With the Babylonian, the Medo-Persian, the Greek, and finally the Roman Empire, where we are in our story today, right? And people are looking for a savior because things have not gotten better, right? They were allowed to go to their lands, but not in peace, not in prosperity, in suffering, in slavery, in taxation. All of those things, the people were barely surviving. And you see these shepherds that the angel speaks to. As I said before, shepherds were insignificant, marginalized, lonely, nomadic people. They were not like the top. And then they were dirty. They smelled like animals. They were the least in their society. And the people in that day pursue everything that we pursue today, right? Family, money, power, sex, relationship, drugs, whatever. People were miserable. Shepherds, they're doing the night shift, right? If you ever worked overnight, it's not a great day to be doing the night shift. I've done that a couple times in my life, and that just messes you up because you're out when the sun is down and you're asleep when the sun's up. So they were just struggling to get by. So all God's people knew that something was very wrong with the world that they lived in. The sinful earth without God has no joy. If you look at Jeremiah 2:13, this is a great summary of what the world without God is like. Jeremiah 2:13 says this, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So they're forsaking the fountain of living waters. I'll do it my own way, but the things that we do on our own yield nothing. They don't hold any water. They're broken and leaky. That is the essence of sin. We're giving up true joy with the Father, and we get nothing in return. That is a terrible deal. And that is the world that the shepherds were in as Jesus was born into the world, right? And we know that the joys in this life now, not in the proper place, they become prisons, right? We have disorder without God in the center, right? Food becomes gluttony. Work becomes greed and avarice. Relationships yield abuse and codependency. Sex yields addiction, adultery, pornography, drugs, this dysfunction, dependency, and addiction. Joys become addiction and pain. And Jesus says this, right? He doesn't use the word of addiction, but he says slavery. Whoever commits a sin is a slave to sin. Right? So this is not a lack of education, right? They were just smarter. Things would be better. No. Look at today. People are way more educated when we're doing the same evils, just more sophisticated. Right? It's been the same since the beginning. So the joys in life becomes prisons. Also, forsaking God is the reason that we are miserable. The problem is not the things that God made to enjoy, because God made perfection. Because God made everything in its proper place. Because he was the center. When you remove that center, everything becomes warped and abused, right? You look at an archway, right? In the center of an archway is called the keystone, which is like a triangle shape that would hold the arch together. right? We compress it and hold it together, right? And you discover this in the Roman times with those Roman pillars with these archways. If you remove that keystone, the whole thing falls apart. That is what life is like without God. That's why we have murder and suffering, good turn to evil, addiction and abuse, right? Even as an American, one of our greatest documents is the U.S. Declaration of Independence. And it says you have, God's given us the right for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You don't get the happiness. All you get is the right to pursue it. Because even they knew that happiness is not always found. And it's likely never found. But you get the right to pursue it as you see fit. Just pursuing it, not getting it. That's not a right you have. Because if you can have all the money, all the power, all the family, all the sex, all the freedom, all the comfort, they cannot bring us any lasting joy. Life becomes this endless longing without satisfaction of those longings, without God at the center. We are those broken cisterns that can hold no water. There is no other thing outside of God that can satisfy us. But Jesus restores lasting joy to his people. Jesus restores that lasting joy. Because the angel, he says, Jesus is here. He is bringing good news of great joy for all the people. And people were waiting for the Messiah. They were waiting for the King, for the Christ, the Anointed One, the Blessed One. For centuries, there were several hundred years where there was no word from God. After all the prophecies about this person that's going to come and save them, here he is. He is a savior. How do you find him? Right? He says, you're going to find a manger, a baby, his waddling clothes. Right? And then an army of angels appear to them. Right? They're dumbfounded. Like I said last week, there's a spiritual reality. The curtain is pulled open a little bit. And you see this army, this heavenly host, praising and glorifying God. Right? He says in Hebrews that these are things that with which angels long to look it out for God's plans be revealed through Jesus. So joy was returned to God because of Christ. So what we need, have that lasting joy, is we need Jesus as the Savior. We don't need more rules, more laws, more prophets. Because we know the rules and laws that God requires. We know them, yet we don't do them. I don't do them, you don't do them. We are unable, we are unwilling and unable to obey God's law. Just as the people of Israel were unable and unwilling to obey God's law, the same applies to us today. This is why we need a savior. We need someone to save us from ourselves and our bent towards destruction. Maybe you heard the phrase, if you give someone a long enough rope, they'll hang themselves. That is the human condition without God. Right? Because the more we get, the more we'll destroy ourselves with that. That's why we need Jesus as a Savior, because he reverses the curse of sin and death. He unwinds it. Right? He saves us by taking our place. Right? Jesus came, God in human form, never sinned. His whole life lived a perfect, obedient life, listening to the Father at every turn. Even though faced with the same weakness, the same brokenness, the same temptations that we all face every day, he faced those things too. Yet he never gave in. He never gave up. He always leaned on the Father for everything. And because he never sinned, he was the perfect substitute. Right? The people had animals in the old days to be sacrificed to make ends meet with God, because sin requires blood. Yet animals have no moral will, right? They're just kind of grabbed and slit and put on the altar and burned up. Right? But Jesus was willing. He says, I lay down my life willingly and I pick it up again, right? So he decided he laid his life down as a substitute in my place. Because it should be me, it should be us on the cross, forsaken by God. Imagine ourselves. That's where we deserve and belong to be. But God put Jesus there to receive my punishment and our punishment. He was a morally perfect sacrifice. And then Jesus, because death could not hold him, because he was God, Jesus rose from death, and that proved that the sacrifice for our sins was accepted by God. And he gives eternal life to all of us who believe. That is the true joy. Right? Our greatest misery, our greatest obstacle to joy is death. Because if we all die, and that's the end, it makes everything in this life almost meaningless. And then what would be at the end without Jesus is an eternity separated from God forever, and a spiritual death, which is eternal. But that misery is turned to joy when we trust in Jesus as our Savior. When we trust in Jesus, we are seen. God looks at me, God looks at you and says, I see the perfect light of Jesus on you. Right? You're seeing, even if you've sinned, you do sin this morning, you're sinning right now. If you believe, God sees you with the perfection of Christ. And the resurrection of Jesus shows that we also will be resurrected. So death is not the end. Death is just part of the experience, and then we are resurrected with him to be with him forever. And all the things that we imagined in the creation will be restored, right? Endless joy, endless peace, endless satisfaction with God at the center. So we should have joy and excitement because our sins are forgiven. Right? It says in Matthew 1:21 that when Jesus was born, he said, we'll call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And we need to be with him forever when he returns. And for Christ's joy is forward looking. Right? Jesus brought pure and lasting and true joy in salvation. That also means that we are no longer slaves to the sins that once enslaved us. We have the power to say no to sin. We are free from false worship and addictions that come with pleasure. Because we worship Jesus as Savior and Lord, who put him back in the center as the keystone, we can enjoy all the good things that God has for us in their right place. He made our minds and bodies to receive pleasure and joy, but not to be worshipped. Right? All the things, food, work, relationships, experience, travel, sex, fun, comfort, all have their place in Christ's kingdom. But the greatest joy is a relationship, is walking with God in the cool of the garden again. And that's what we have when we believe in Jesus. And there's spiritual joys which trump all the physical joys. Things like prayer, reading the word, singing, fellowship. Yes, it may not seem sometimes as fun as some of the other things I mentioned, but I've had experiences with God often where I am lifted into another place with Jesus and filled with joy and tears coming down my face. If you are a believer, you should have them. I'm saying every day. There's some days where I'm just kind of going through the motions and I'm not getting a lot from God, but there are many other days, especially on Fridays, actually, where I am with the Lord and he is with me and I can see his love all over me. And it is more powerful than any of the other stuff I mentioned. And this world is still broken, right? The shepherds, they saw the angels, they saw his birth, but they still had to look forward to full salvation in his death and his resurrection. They still want to go back to their jobs as being shepherds. Jesus himself, it says, for the joy set before him, in front of him, he endured the cross, right? He was looking forward to the joy beyond the cross. And for us, that is also true. Joy in suffering looks forward to the day when it ends. It's forward looking, right? I told you about joy in my wedding day with my wife, but that's only the beginning, and we're looking forward to life. And even that wedding day was forward-looking because we had to prepare for months, months and months and months of tedious stuff to prepare for the wedding. Stuff that I didn't really care to spend a lot of time on. But I was looking forward to the day when we got married, right? Joy is forward-looking. And we are moving towards joy. As we put away sin and devote ourselves to God, it just takes a lifetime. right? The Holy Spirit gives us joy in spite of brokenness and suffering because it looks forward to the day when it will end. That's what it means when people have joy that is beyond the suffering they were going through. You're looking forward to when that will end, when we'll be with God forever. Because we know, in your minds, you feel it in your bodies, one day everything will be restored. Every tear will be wiped away. We will live again in a world, in a heaven without sin, without brokenness, without futility. Relationships will be restored. Creation will be restored. We'll be walking with God face to face. So in our lives, when we're going through difficult times, how do we have joy? It's forward looking. Right? I'm looking forward to what God has in mind for me. Second, we should be the happiest and most joyful people as believers. We have so much to look forward to. Our future is so bright. But sometimes Christians aren't fun. So we're not a good witness. Even in spite of the difficulties, that's the true mark, right? If you're saying, if people see you and say, you believe in Christ, you're suffering, yet you have joy, people would be interested, are interested in that, because they can't figure that out. The world should see us with joy, even in difficult times, because of the future joy. Right? I think Jesus was a serious person, but I'm sure he had mirth and laughter and jokes. He got 12 guys walking around in the woods. I'm sure there were some jokes being told. They were having fun as part of their lives together. You just travel with your best friends. That sounds great. Jesus turned water into wine. He went to the parties. Of course, he never sinned. But like I said, there's plenty of joy and fun and enjoyable things that you can enjoy that are in God's intention for us. And finally, if you want to increase your joy, pursue Jesus. Some practical steps. If you want to increase your joy in this life, pursue Jesus. So that means if you are not a believer, if you're not sure of your relationship with Christ, when I call people to the end, come talk to me. Come talk to one of my leaders. I'd be happy to share with you more about what Jesus offers. If you are a believer, it's even more important for you even to remind yourselves of these things. Because we can forget. We can think that, I know this stuff. This stuff is so basic. I want to know the deep things about God. No, the deep things of God is the gospel. What Jesus did for us. And the more you spend time on that, the more joy you will have, the more you will understand Jesus. Right? It's not about materialism, as this culture shows, right? And home culture showing in Christmas. It's about getting stuff and presents. Remind yourself of why we are here, why Christmas is such a beautiful thing. It's not the stuff. It's Jesus. So we need to spend time reflecting. This is why we take a break from our sermon series. Did you do Advent? It's a time to reflect and to meditate on what Jesus came for, what he's coming back for. Right? He's coming back. And it won't be like he was as a baby and people didn't recognize him or didn't believe him. Everyone will know. Everyone will believe. Some people will be too late. Right? The joy for us is that we get to believe before he comes back and be with him in his kingdom forever. Everyone else will be bowed the knee by force before they're sent into eternal punishment. So reflect and meditate. Yes, I know life is busy during this season for many of us. I get it. But make sure you're not forsaking time with Jesus during Christmas. Although it's going to pass right by. You didn't think about Jesus hardly at all. You will have no joy in your spiritual life, in your Christmas, if he's not about Jesus. Be careful about good versus best, which I prayed about before. There are many good things to pursue, but you need to focus on the best things, which is Christ and people, right? Jesus is first, right? God and worshiping him and praising him and singing songs to him, especially on Fridays, but every day of the week. Like Lauren said, there is power in corporate prayer and corporate worship. There is a unique thing. I would not have anybody. I'd rather you miss my sermon than miss the worship. The worship is what matters. Because we are singing songs that reflect the truth of Jesus to Jesus. Right? That's what people raising their hands, and I know many of you do this, but just to remind yourself, this is what we do on Friday mornings. Right? We are worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And as we sing to him, that's a pleasing offering to him. The offering of thanksgiving and praise to him. He is pleased by that. He will increase your joy. Make sure you're having your devotion with God, right? Read through the Bible. Read through the Gospels, especially during this season. Pray to him. Listen to him. I can tend to do all the talking, my prayer. All the stuff I want to say, because I'm an external processor anyways. When I pray and do that, it's also good to remove distractions and to listen to him, because he does speak. And he will speak, which means if you can come forward. We don't need to always have an agenda during this season, right? Create the joyful experiences from Jesus for those around you. As we conclude, has your heart been prepared to make room for joy in Jesus, right? Let every heart prepare him room, right? The joy of the world is all we said. Maybe we'll sing again. Have we prepared room for him in our hearts this morning? The angels declared the birth of Jesus to be great joy for all the people. And God created this world for joy, but sin destroys happiness. We can have a relationship with God, with others, and with people if they're restored to him. Jesus came to reverse the curse of sin. He lived without sin. He died in our place. And the inevitable misery without God is overturned for we to be with him forever. That's what resurrection means, that we will spend eternity with him. Therefore, we can enjoy this life in its proper place and the next. And even the difficult times we're going through, we can have forward-looking joy to the future. We need to look forward to the joy that we will have in Jesus. Stand up on our feet and we'll pray. Father, thank you so much that you are the author of all joy. All the things that we enjoy in this life that are legitimate come from you. Help us, help me this season to slow down and focus on you. I pray that you give everyone in this room time this season, undistracted, to devote to you, and that you would increase their joy. Bless every one of us here. You are the author of joy, and we love you, and I pray that we would continue to have joy through the rest of the service and through our Christmas and through the rest of our Advent. We love you, Jesus, and we ask for these things in your great name. Amen.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Crossroads International Church. If you have questions about how to pray for, give, or get involved with CIC, visit www.ciccoate.com or check out our Instagram and Facebook account at CICQA. Have a blessed day.